There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the presence of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face. You got to say, sweet Holy Spirit, oh, sweet, sweet heavenly dove, sweet, I'll stay right here with us, filling us. Silent tears. You've always heard our prayers. Oh, how we need you today. We thank you for showing up. You never let us down before. Speak to us now through your word. For we realize the more word we get, the stronger we get. And as we get stronger and stronger each and every day, Lord God, we glorify you through our lives. We promise, oh God, that we will apply these truths to our daily lives and give you glory. So be blessed with our offering and sacrifice of praise. Thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Give our choir another encouragement. Amen. Musicians, amen. We thank God for all that's gone. Exodus chapter 5, just for a few minutes. Exodus chapter 5, and just one verse, but I want to make the connection here, hopefully, in a few minutes. I've got more than I intended to, so maybe we have to just hunk it off a little bit, but we'll see what the Lord says. Amen. Chapter 5 of the book of Exodus, verse 1. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert." This is the word of God for the people of God. And I just want to talk for a few minutes today from this subject. Why is God asking Pharaoh to let my people go? God bless you, ushers. You may readjust. Why is God asking Pharaoh to let my people go? He says this on a number of occasions. That's why the question becomes, because I don't know why God would need to ask Pharaoh or ask Moses to tell Pharaoh anything. But for some reason, God tells Moses to go tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go. I've often said in the course of time when we have been ministering here that we are the best of the best. That we who come from folks who were under the legalized bondage for 251 years. And to have come through that, and what you see now is not a watered down version of them. We are the best of the best. Because I don't believe that there are no people on the earth who could have endured what our people have endured. And even after going through 251 years of legalized bondage, institutional bondage, we still had to go through times of civil rights. The military was just integrated in 1948. Schools were integrated in 1954, or desegregated in 1954. The United Methodist Church waited around to 1968 before it caught the fire. And in 1972, it disbanded what was known as the Central Jurisdiction, a separate black part of the United Methodist Church. So we who have gone through all of that, we are the best of the best. Folks who have come through bondage, enslavement. I think the worst thing that you could do to me, Wilma, is to prohibit me or inhibit me from going where I want to go and doing what I want to do. That's why I probably won't ever commit a crime intentionally, because I don't want anybody telling me when I can get up, when I got to go to sleep, what I'm going to eat, when I'm going to eat, how I'm going to eat. I don't want, if I don't want you in my room, you don't have to be there. That's what bondage does to us. And it is when bondage becomes institutionalized, what Red in the Shawshank Redemption called becoming institutional. And that is to say that when you have been in bondage so long that all of a sudden bondage doesn't bother you anymore. That it feels better to be in bondage than it does to be free, then we have a problem. And so it is, beloved, that the people of God in this text find themselves in bondage. Now, they didn't start out that way, because when we left the story off, Christian, Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt. And so the Bible says in Exodus chapter 1 that there rose a king who knew not Joseph. And so this king decided, because the people of God, the Israelites, were multiplying and growing. How many understand that if you place us in a place, even if we are under bondage, we will still grow? Y'all catch up when you can. Because we are the people of God. Watch this now. And they grew and grew and grew. And so the Egyptians said, we've got to do something about this. So they enslaved the Israelites. And as they enslaved them, they oppressed them. And as they have oppressed them for so long, the people of God began to cry out to God. And as they cry out to God, thanks be to God, he hears their cry. And he hears their misery. And he raises up a deliverer from amongst them whose name is Moses. And Moses, though he does not want to, finally submits to God's leadership and becomes the person that God uses to deliver his people. And so it is that in the course of time, God tells Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Let them go. And so what we discover in this is that God has a plan, a purpose, and a provision for his people.
And so it is that God lays out in chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, his plan for his people. He says, listen, go tell Pharaoh to let him go. And after, when you come out, you go into a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And Pharaoh's heart is going to be hardened, and he's not going to want to let you go, but you keep on going anyway. And as you go and go and go, you're going to find yourself ultimately in the place that God has for us. It is the story of redemption throughout the whole Bible. God's desire to return his people to himself. It is God's desire from Genesis chapter 3, when man falls, until Revelation 22, God is trying to bring his people or restore us to the place originally that we had in him. That we would finally be a people who recognizes God as our God, who worship and glorify and praise him on end. And as a result of that, we would receive all of the blessings and honor and favor of God upon our lives. It's God's desire. It's what he ultimately wants to do. So he says to Moses, go tell the one who has you in bondage. Go watch it. Speak to that one or that thing that has you in bondage and tell it to let my people go. And so as God does this, he begins to organize his plan in the lives of his people. And as he begins to organize his plan, Sister Langford, he begins to because Pharaoh's heart is hard, he begins to send plagues and frogs and gnats and flies and snakes and all kind of hindrances to Pharaoh and to the people of Egypt to let them know that I am the God of the earth. I am the Most High. I am the Holy of Holies. So he lets them know, listen, this is a part of my plan. As a result of that, the people of God are finding themselves being delivered by the hand of God, but Pharaoh is continuing to say, no, I will not let them go. Finally, God says, this is my plan to let my people go. I'm sending you something to so that you will understand that I am the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Listen, he wants to show not only his plan, but he wants to show that God is stronger than the enemy. We have to understand that if you're going to come out of bondage, you got to recognize that we have one on our side who is stronger than whatever has you in bondage. God says, listen, go tell Pharaoh that the God of all the earth. And he begins to do these things that only God can do to show Pharaoh and to show us that he is the God over that thing that has us bound. What is it that has us bound today? What is it that has us walking around in a prescribed area, unwilling to come out of that area, even though we have been set free? What is it that has us tied down and won't let us go because we have not realized that the God of the earth has spoken freedom to us, and he who the Son sets free is free indeed? What is it about freedom that has us so afraid that even though we can have freedom and we can walk in freedom, we would desire to still live in bondage? It's an interesting thing, beloved, because I think that not here, but there are some folks who have fallen in love with the devil. We love the devil. We love what sin gives us. We love what it produces for us. We love the things that are of the world. We love all of those things that are contrary to God. We love the devil. The Bible says men love darkness more than light. We love those things until we find out that the devil really does come to steal, kill, and destroy us. So God says, Listen, I've come to give you life. I've come to say, let my people go. It's interesting that as God speaks freedom in the lives of his people, the people keep speaking bondage over their lives. They keep saying things like, we can't do it. Come on, you remember Wednesday night. We can't come from under this bondage. Or this word, we're trying to do better. Which is a great excuse to say, I'm not doing anything. Or we keep saying, this thing is too difficult to us or for us. And as they speak these things into their life, every time they come to a challenge in their life, watch this. They decide to say, wish that we were back in Egypt. Which is to say that it's possible to be free from Egypt. That you can be out of Egypt, but the Egypt is not out of you. That it's possible to still be out of bondage and still be in bondage because you have become institutionalized. Carter G. Woodson puts it this way. He says, folks have become so conditioned to going to the back door that even when there is no back door, they will still go around to the back and they will cut a hole and make a back door because that's where they're conditioned to be. Three things that we understand about this is that what we've got to discover about this thing is that when we become institutionalized, we say to God, even though God, you're saying, let my people go, we don't want to go. There were a lot of folks who didn't want to come off of the plantation even after the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed. And I'm concerned because number one, we think folk like us. Because they call you by your first name and pat you on your back, we think folk like us. And we operate under that even though we know they don't care a thing about us, but we think in our hearts that they like us. I become institutionalized. Number two, I become institutionalized when I think that the game is fair. We think folk are playing fair. We give folk credit. We believe with all of our hearts that things are fair. That no, the playing field is level now. We got the civil rights document that was signed in 1964. And listen, we got all this kind of, but let me tell you something, dear heart. It is not fair. Folk ain't playing fair. The game is rigged. They believe that they're supposed to get the bread and you are supposed to get the crumbs. And we become institutionalized when we get to the point where we believe, too, that we're supposed to get the crumbs. And can I go deeper? Not only do we believe we're supposed to get the crumbs, we believe that the crumbs are good. We believe that we are objects of mission and we are supposed to get the leftovers because things are fair. And because things are fair, that everything is fair. So my point is that God is saying, let my people go. Because my people are bound in institutionalism. And they aren't understanding that they are free now. So that we don't have to be satisfied with what's left over. We can have the best of the best. God says we have the first fruits. I wish I had two or three of y'all to help me here. He says, let my people go from this bondage that we're in, thinking that we're not supposed to have the best of the best. That we only can have it when nobody else wants it. That we only can have it when somebody invites us to their table. Well, I stop by to tell you, we ain't waiting till somebody invite us to a table. We're going to make our own table and invite to the table whoever we want to. Because God says we are the best of the best. We got everything we need. And we've discovered that God is saying, let my people go, because he's trying to deliver us from ourselves. Deliver us from the understanding that we are can-do believers. I can do all. How many is all? All things through Christ. This is God talking to his people. This is a story. Listen, we are in two seasons now. We are in the season of Black History Celebration Month. But you know as well as I do, every month is Black History Month. Not just the 28 or 29 days during February. Listen, we make history every month. The second season that we're in is the season of Lent. And we have declared that this is our season to grow in our relationship with God. And so God is saying, I want you to grow in these 40 days. You ought to see some measurable growth in your relationship with him. That's what praise and worship was about this morning. It was about extending and expanding the relationship between us and God. Saying to God, you are our deliverer. You are our redeemer. You are our master. You are our savior. You are our Lord. And because you are, we will worship you and praise you forever and ever and ever. That's what we're saying. We become institutional. We think folks like us. We think that they're playing fair. But then finally, when we become institutional, we believe that we cannot achieve. It's something that I'm concerned about our young people today. When we talk to them about where are you going in life? What are you doing? Not often do they tell me about the things that they can achieve that's beyond themselves. I had a plumber the other week, and he was telling me about all of the money that he makes as a plumber and how he has job openings as a plumber. And when I talk to young people, they say, I don't want to crawl around up under no houses. I said, do you want to make $100,000 a year? Oh, yeah. Well, then you got to crawl up under some houses. One of the things I'm concerned about, this is an aside, that this generation, you can't start off as the CEO. You got to work your way up. So what we discover is, God says, listen, when you become institutional, you don't think that you can achieve. We become satisfied. We become complacent. And we stop. We lose that burning and that passion. That's what worship was about this morning. It was a passion. It was a burning in us. When we become complacent and believe that this is all that I have, the people of God have become complacent. And even though they are crying out to God and saying, God, have mercy upon us because the oppressor is weighing down on us, they are not willing to do what it takes to come out from under bondage. I think I said something here. Listen, it's just not enough to say, Lord, deliver me. Now you got to get up and do something and go somewhere. Maybe it means going across the desert of life. But all across the desert of life, Wilma, God will provide. Everywhere their footstep, God was there. When they wanted water, he gave them water. When they wanted food, he gave them food. He kept their enemies away. I wish somebody would help me here. He kept their enemies away. He protected them. He kept them. Somebody here knows that you've been going through the deserts of life. You may be in a dry season right now, but God has kept you. He's protected you. He's provided for you. He has given you everything, and you got to give him some praise. You got to let him know that, God, I'm willing to do some things that I've never done before. God says, my plan is to take you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. But I'm not going to do like Star Trek and just translate you into the land. You've got to walk through. You've got to endure the surgery, knowing that the hands of God are moving with the hands of the surgeon. You've got to go through the inconveniences of life in order to see yourself in the place that God has provided for you. There will be some dry seasons. There will be some dry places. But don't be discouraged. The God who has brought you to it will bring you through it. So watch this. He says, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Let my people go because they need to be delivered from poverty. A poverty mentality. Because God says, my God shall supply all of their needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. Everything belongs to God. God says, the silver and the gold are mine. He says, hey, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Let them go from this mentality of poverty. Let my people go from this mentality of defeat. Because there is no temptation taking you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God says, let my people go from this spirit of defeat. God says, let my people go from being lost, that if they would trust in the Lord with all of thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, he will, somebody knows, he will direct your paths. Somebody knows that God is saying, let my people go from sickness, because you know that he is Jehovah Rapha, God my healer, that he says the prayer of faith will save the sick. God is a healer in this place today. God says, let my people go from eternal damnation, because this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God does not have life. The Bible declares it. And we know that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, thou shalt be saved. If any man be in Christ, they are a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. Let my people go from confusion, because if you pray and pray right, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. Whatsoever things you pray for, believing that you have received it, that is already done, it shall be yours. My people need to be let go from confusion. Let my people go from unforgiveness, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let my people go from unforgiveness. Let my people go so that they can worship me. Let them go so that they can be delivered from hopelessness, because I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. But when I go, I will not leave you comfortless. I'll leave you one. I have prayed to the Father, and he'll send you one just like me. He will dwell with you and will be in you. His name is the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you and guide you and teach you all things. I wish I had two or three of y'all to help me here to know that he says, let my people go so that they can be free, because they will know that in Christ there is no failure. In God there is no hopelessness. In God there's only success. There's only victory. when we walk. I prepared a place. That's my provision for you. You can have hope. Everything that we need, God has given to us. And it is time. God says, I'm not asking Pharaoh. I'm telling my people, let them go. He's saying to us today, you're free. I said, you're free. You're free to worship like you want to worship. You know, we used to be called shouting Methodists. We used to be known by our shout. But somebody said, y'all are acting animalistic and too emotional. Listen, let me tell you something, baby. You can't be emotional without being spiritual. If you are spiritual, it will cause some emotions within you to rise. That's why when he hits that drum, I don't care how high class or uppity you are, your head will start moving. Because that's who we are. We are the people of the drum. We talk through the drum. We live through the drum. It is the beat of the drum that's the beat of our hearts. And it's time for us to reclaim it and know who we are and what we are. We are the people of God, and can't nobody take that away from us. If my people who are called by my name, let my people go. Let them go from their bondage. To think that they cannot do without somebody coming to rescue us. Without somebody coming to our aid. We are not objects of mission. We are the people of God. And I'm sorry, we don't need nobody to help us. We got God. God plus zero equals success. God plus me is a wonderful combination. Pray for me. He says, let my people go. Go tell Pharaoh. Because my people need to see that I'm their God. And there is no Pharaoh, no devil in hell, no demon on earth that can overcome them. I said, there's no one that can overcome us. So, we're getting ready to go. I'm through. Come on. Here's what God says. Don't be afflicted with the spirit of familiarity. Sometimes God calls us to do things that we have never done before. To go places where we've never gone before. And to experience things that we have never experienced before. But don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. But the first thing he's given us is power, love, and a sound mind. I want us to walk in that freedom today. I want you to step outside of yourself today. I want you to step outside of your comfort zone today. I know, I know that you're comfortable in what you're doing. I know you're comfortable in the way that you serve, but I'm calling you out today to step outside of your comfort zone. I'm calling you to be delivered from that bondage of comfort. And I'm calling you into the place of uncertainty. I'm calling you to the place where you have that butterfly in your stomach again. When you don't know what you're going to do. But trust in the Lord with all of your heart. and lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. I'm calling you into that today. If you've never accepted Jesus, I'm calling you into a relationship with him. If you're here and you don't have a church home, I'm calling you to come out of your comfort zone of just worshiping when you want to worship, but calling you to a place where you give God glory every Sunday. God's calling you. So while this song is being sung, every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't want you looking at the singer. I want you to begin to hear the Spirit of God speaking to you as you're singing this song. Just you and Jesus. Spend some time with the Lord.
Though the storm keeps on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the nights from day.